Imagine buying like a massive piece of enterprise software, handing it your quarterly sales goals, and then just walking away.
Right, just leaving it alone.
Yeah, exactly. And by the time you check back in, it has independently written the emails, found the best prospects, run the A/B tests, and qualified all the leads.
Which sounds completely made up, I know.
It really does. But in 2026, this isn't science fiction anymore. It is a reality, and it's called agentic AI. But, you know, if you don't know exactly how this invisible machinery works under the hood, it will absolutely burn through your entire marketing budget in like seconds.
Oh, yeah, faster than you can blink.
So, welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is to basically cut through a massive amount of MarTech jargon to understand how modern businesses actually turn anonymous web visitors into paying customers without losing their minds or a fortune.
It's such a vital translation exercise, really, because this machinery that runs the internet economy, it operates completely out of sight. But it dictates almost every commercial interaction you have online. From, those emails you get right after you abandon a shopping cart to the targeted ads that just eerily seem to know your exact job title.
Yeah, the ones that follow you around for weeks. And our roadmap for this translation today is a really comprehensive reference guide. It was published on April 16th, 2026, by Lauren Popeck from Reach Marketing. And it's titled Marketing Automation Definition: How It Works and Why It Matters in 2026.
It's a great piece, really breaks it down.
It really does. And I want to speak directly to you, the listener, for a second here. Whether you're a marketer tasked with upgrading this sprawling tech stack, or maybe a business owner wondering where your leads are vanishing to, or even just a curious learner trying to understand the algorithm shaping your inbox, this deep dive is going to be your shortcut to being well-informed. Okay, let's unpack this, because we really can't talk about the flashy AI future without understanding the foundational plumbing first. So the source defines a marketing automation platform, or a MAP, as software that handles repetitive work at scale. We're talking about an engine that sends emails, scores leads, triggers campaigns. Is an MAP basically just a highly caffeinated digital concierge for your business?
The concierge analogy works, yeah, but you have to scale it up to a terrifying degree.
Terrifying how?
Well, imagine a concierge that possesses a perfect photographic memory
Okay.
and has the ability to speak to like 100,000 people at the exact same time while carrying on a highly personalized conversation with every single one of them based purely on their unique behavior.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that is a little scary.
Right. What's fascinating here is that an MAP executes, manages, and measures workflows across multiple channels all at once. It's right at the dead center of a company's marketing tech stack, essentially acting as the brain coordinating all outbound communication.
But how does it actually know who it's talking to? Like, if I visit a software company's website and look at their pricing page, to them, I'm just an anonymous IP address. How does the MAP turn me, a ghost, into a known entity?
So the first crucial step is data capture and unification. The platform acts like this giant vacuum, just pulling in scattered digital footprints from all over the place.
Like the cookies from that web visit I mentioned.
Exactly. It tracks those cookies. And then maybe a week later, you fill out a form to download a white paper.
Right.
Suddenly, the MAP snaps those pieces together. It links your anonymous browsing history to your email address, and then it pulls in your job title from, say, a webinar registration, creating what the industry calls a customer 360 view.
A customer 360 view. So it basically assembles a complete person out of these fragmented data points.
Precisely.
Okay, so now we have a massive unified database of thousands of people. But a giant list of names is essentially just a digital phone book.
Yeah.
How do we make that actionable?
By establishing dynamic rules. And this is where we move into the second layer, which is segmentation.
Okay.
We aren't talking about static mailing lists where you manually upload a spreadsheet of names anymore. Marketers define specific living criteria.
Like what?
For example, you build a segment that says, find all chief marketing officers at sauce companies with over 200 employees who have visited our pricing page in the last 48 hours.
Oh, wow. That specific.
Yes. And the MAP is constantly scanning the database. As people's behavior changes, the system dynamically moves them in and out of that segment in real time.
And I'm guessing landing in that segment is the tripwire.
Yeah.
Like, that's what kicks off the third layer, the actual campaign orchestration.
You got it.
Because the text points out that these workflows aren't just straight lines where everybody gets the exact same sequence of emails. There are these really complex visual flowcharts with branching logic based on how the prospect reacts.
Yeah, it is basically algorithmic conversation. The MAP sends the initial email. If the prospect opens it and clicks the link, the system recognizes that engagement and immediately branches them down a specific path, maybe sending a follow-up case study the very next morning.
But what if they ignore it? Because I ignore those all the time.
Right. And if you ignore it, the system's logic dictates a different path. It might wait 3 days and try a completely different subject line, or try reaching out on a different channel altogether.
But eventually, this algorithmic conversation has to yield a tangible result.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to separate the casual window shoppers from the actual buyers, which brings us to the fourth layer, lead scoring. And the source highlights a really specific nuance here that businesses apparently get wrong all the time.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah. To confidently hand a lead over to the sales team, the MAP requires two distinct halves of a scoring equation. You need demographic fit and you need behavioral signals.
That intersection is the entire point of the platform, honestly. Think about demographic fit first. Does the person have the right job title? Do they work in the right industry? Does their company actually have the budget to buy your product?
Right.
That establishes whether they could buy. But the behavioral signals, are they opening your emails, returning to the website, attending your webinars?
That establishes whether they want to buy.
Exactly.
So if a college student is downloading every single technical white paper you have for like their senior thesis, their behavioral score is off the charts, they look highly engaged, but their demographic fit is zero. They don't have purchasing power.
Right. They can't buy.
But on the flip side, if the CEO of your dream target account is sitting in the database, but they've never interacted with a single piece of your content, they aren't a hot lead either.
No, without both of those scores crossing a specific numerical threshold, you are just wasting your sales team's time.
Makes sense.
When both align, the MAP automatically upgrades their status to a marketing qualified lead, an MQL, and routes them to a human sales rep. And then, crucially, it tracks what happens next to measure attribution, which is the fifth layer.
Measurement.
Yes. It logs the entire journey so that when a $1 million deal finally closes, the business can look back and definitively prove which marketing touchpoints actually contributed to that revenue.
Which brings up a staggering financial reality from the source material. Because for all the talk of, like, new digital channels, the foundational component of these MAP workflows is still the email marketing engine.
It really is.
And email remains the highest ROI channel in the industry, yielding roughly $36 to $42 for every single dollar spent.
It's incredible.
$36 to $42. That is an incredible return, which totally explains why the software managing that engine is so structurally critical to a modern business.
It absolutely is the workhorse of the digital economy. But because the MAP sits at the center of all this data and communication, it naturally has to integrate with everything else a company uses. And this creates a massive point of friction and confusion in the market.
Oh, the alphabet soup of MarTech.
Hey.
MAP, CRM, ESP, CDP, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And wait, hold on. If I'm already paying a premium for a massive Salesforce instance, and my team has MailChimp running for our newsletters, why on earth do I need to introduce another acronym to my tech stack? Isn't a marketing automation platform completely redundant at that point?
That's what a lot of people think.
Let me pitch you an analogy to clear this up for the listener. The CRM is your filing cabinet. It's your system of record.
Okay.
The ESP, your email service provider, is your mail carrier. But the MAP is the actual brain running the office. Does that hold up?
It holds up perfectly, but we need to look at the severe limitations of trying to use a filing cabinet to run a dynamic marketing strategy. Buying the wrong tool for the wrong job is one of the most expensive mistakes a company can make.
For sure.
Let's take the CRM. Systems like Salesforce, HubSpot CRM, or Microsoft Dynamics, they are phenomenal at storing relationship data, logging sales calls, and tracking deal stages. They exist so your sales team can manage their pipeline.
Right.
But a filing cabinet cannot dynamically monitor the web behavior of 100,000 anonymous visitors and automatically trigger complex multi-channel campaigns based on real-time data shifts.
Right. It just holds the files.
Right.
What about the mail carrier? The ESPs like Constant Contact or MailChimp?
So their primary function is bulk delivery. Now, the source makes an important clarification regarding MailChimp.
Oh, wait.
Over the years, they have added automation features, and for a very small business, it can absolutely function as a simplified marketing automation tool. But the text explicitly notes it lacks the deep lead management depth required by mid-market or enterprise B2B organizations.
So it hits a ceiling pretty fast.
Exactly. An ESP can deliver the mail, but it cannot run a complex, multivariable B2B scoring model that synchronizes bidirectionally with an enterprise CRM.
That makes a ton of sense. But then there's the CDP, the customer data platform, which gets thrown around constantly. Mm. Platforms like Segment or Salesforce Data Cloud. If a CDP's entire job is to build a unified customer profile, how is that any different from the MAP's data capture layer we just talked about?
The distinction there is all about data flow, specifically upstream versus downstream.
Okay, break that down for me.
A CDP is an upstream infrastructure tool. Its sole purpose is to ingest massive, chaotic amounts of data from dozens of different systems. We're talking billing software, help desk tickets, mobile apps, point of sale systems.
Just a fire hose of raw data.
Right. It cleans it up, standardizes it, and builds one persistent, pristine profile. But the CDP does not run the campaign. It doesn't send the email. The MAP is the downstream activation engine. It takes that perfectly clean data from the CDP and actually pulls the trigger on the communication and the lead routing.
This is such a critical takeaway for you listening. If your foundational problem is that your customer data is a disorganized, duplicated mess spread across 15 different operational systems, you probably need an upstream CDP to untangle it.
Exactly.
But if your problem is that you can't automatically nurture leads and route them to your sales team based on their behavior, you need a downstream MAP. Don't buy a data warehouse when you need an execution engine.
Yes. And understanding that distinction is vital because it sets the stage for the massive disruption happening right now. Everything we just discussed represents the traditional baseline of marketing automation.
Right, the deterministic stuff.
Exactly. But the guide from Reach Marketing makes it abundantly clear that the year 2026 has completely upended this software category.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the source explicitly outlines three major shifts that are redefining this technology today. And the biggest one is this concept of agentic AI. What does that actually mean mechanically? We've talked about AI for years, but agentic implies something entirely different.
It represents a profound shift from deterministic systems to autonomous systems. Traditional automation, you know, the branching logic we just talked about, is deterministic.
Right.
The human marketer draws the flowchart. They literally program the rules. If X happens, wait 3 days, then do Y. The machine is just blindly following a script.
A very complicated script, but still a script.
Right. Agentic AI breaks that paradigm entirely. We are talking about AI agents like Salesforce, Agentforce, or HubSpot Breeze that can plan, execute, and optimize those campaigns with rapidly diminishing human intervention.
Wait, if the marketers isn't drawing the flowchart anymore, how does the AI know what to do? How does it know when to stop? Like, what guardrails keep an autonomous agent from spamming a CEO 50 times a day? Because its algorithm decided that was the fastest way to get a response.
That is the exact friction point companies are wrestling with right now. Instead of programming the steps, the marketer's job is to program the goals and the constraints.
Yeah, okay.
You give the agent an objective, say, generate 50 qualified leads in the healthcare sector this quarter, and you provide guardrails, like a maximum contact frequency or approved messaging themes.
So you give it the what and the boundaries, not the how.
Precisely. The agent then analyzes historical data to figure out the optimal sequence, the best channels, and the exact timing to achieve that goal on its own. The source actually cites Gartner's 2026 trends forecast, which predicts these AI agents are collapsing traditional architectures. Marketers are shifting away from running discrete, step-by-step campaigns. Their job is evolving into supervising intelligent systems.
That is wild. And it ties directly into the second major shift, generative content. It's not just that the AI agent is deciding when to send the email, it's physically writing it.
Yes.
The text points out that the quality bar for embedded generative AI has risen so significantly that a massive share of campaign copy is now drafted entirely by the machine. The human just acts as the final editor, reviewing the output before the agent blasting it out.
Which fundamentally changes the underlying economics of the software, bringing us to the third shift. Consumption-based pricing.
Right.
For decades, you bought enterprise software based on how many seats or human users needed access to the platform or how many contacts were sitting in your database.
But if an AI agent is suddenly doing the heavy lifting of a 10-person campaign operations team, traditional seat pricing completely breaks down for the software vendors. They lose money.
Precisely. So in 2026, the billing model is shifting toward usage. You are paying for AI action counts, message volume, and the sheer amount of data the system is processing to make its autonomous decisions. You are essentially paying for the machine's cognitive labor rather than a login credential.
But with all these autonomous machines talking to each other, you know, generating infinite variations of copy at lightning speed, the source highlights a really fascinating, almost existential consequence for the internet. Authenticity and identity verification are now massive strategic priorities for businesses.
It is a direct forced reaction to the technology. When an AI can generate 10,000 highly personalized, perfectly written emails in 3 seconds, the digital landscape gets instantly flooded with noise.
Total chaos.
Yeah. To survive in that environment, verifiable sender identity and cryptographically authenticated content are no longer just IT security hygiene issues. They are the only way a brand can prove to a customer or to an email provider like Google that they are actually real and not just another rogue AI agent spinning up spam.
Okay, let's pause here. Because if I am a business owner listening to this, my immediate thought is, fantastic, I'm going to buy one of these agentic AI platforms, hand it my sales goals, and go take a nap while it prints money.
Naturally.
It sounds incredibly foolproof. But the Reach Marketing Guide heavily warns against this exact mindset. With AI doing so much autonomous work, it creates this illusion of competence that masks massive pitfalls.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to remember the fundamental rule of technology. It is an amplifier. The text bluntly states, a sophisticated MAP running weak campaigns produces weak results faster.
Wow.
A marketing automation platform, even an agentic one, is purely an execution layer. It absolutely cannot replace fundamental business strategy, creative differentiation, or market positioning.
It produces weak results faster. That is a brilliant warning. Let's break down the biggest traps companies fall into, starting with the most obvious one. Buying the platform before defining the strategy.
It is a painfully common scenario. Companies will sign a contract for thousands of dollars a month for enterprise software, but they haven't documented a demand generation strategy. They haven't agreed on a lead qualification framework.
So they just have this shiny, empty box.
Exactly. The software just sits there, an incredibly expensive, empty engine. It executes whatever you load into it. If you load nothing, it does nothing.
Or arguably worse, you load garbage into it. Which brings us to the second pitfall. Poor data hygiene. I think there is a dangerous assumption that AI just magically organizes everything for you. But if your CRM is full of dirty, duplicated, outdated contact data, doesn't that completely break the autonomous logic we just spent 10 minutes talking about?
It shatters it entirely. The AI is making autonomous, split-second decisions based purely on the data it sees. If a single contact is listed in your database 3 times with 3 different job titles and conflicting behavioral histories, well, the segmentation breaks, the personalization looks ridiculous, and the lead routing completely fails.
Right.
You have to budget for ongoing, rigorous data quality work from day one. Garbage in, garbage out at an autonomous scale is a terrifying prospect for a brand's reputation.
Yeah, and you can't just clean it up once during implementation and walk away.
Yeah.
That set and forget mentality is another huge mistake the source points out. These systems decay.
They do.
The audience criteria you defined 6 months ago might have drifted. If you just leave the machine running in the background without tuning it, you're going to start sending irrelevant messages, driving up your unsubscribe rates, and permanently damaging your email deliverability.
And that operational decay leads right into the most critical human element of all. Sales alignment. Remember the lead scoring matrix earlier?
The balance of demographic fit and behavioral signals?
Mm-hmm. Right. If your marketing team builds that complex scoring model in a vacuum, without ever consulting the sales team on what actually makes a good prospect, what happens when those supposedly qualified leads get handed over?
The sales reps call the first 3 leads, realize they are completely unqualified college students or window shoppers, and they immediately stop trusting the marketing platform.
That is the death knell. If sales doesn't trust the scores, the handoff breaks, and the core financial value of the entire platform collapses. It doesn't matter how brilliant the AI agent is if the human sales team ignores its output.
That human element, the organizational friction, is huge, especially when it comes to simply getting these systems off the ground. I want to make sure we point out the actual time commitment mentioned in the text. People are so used to downloading an app and using it instantly that they think enterprise software is plug and play.
Oh, it is not.
Right. For major implementations like an Adobe Marketo Engage or an Oracle Eloqua, the guide explicitly states it takes 3 to 6 months of skilled work just to deploy it.
And that timeline surprises a lot of executives. But what are you actually doing for half a year? You are mapping thousands of data fields between systems, migrating historical records, configuring complex DNS settings for email deliverability, and most importantly, conducting those rigorous alignment workshops between sales and marketing.
Yeah.
You are executing a structural renovation of your business processes. You cannot rush a deployment like this, or you end up with a very brittle system that requires constant IT intervention.
So what does this all mean? Let's do a rapid-fire summary to bring it all home for you. Marketing automation is not just an upgraded email sender. It is the multi-layered brain of your outbound campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
It unifies scattered data, dynamically segments your audience, orchestrates complex workflows, scores leads based on behavior and demographics, and directly measures revenue attribution.
Yeah.
It is structurally distinct from your CRM filing cabinet and your upstream CDP. And right now in 2026, it is undergoing a radical evolution via the agentic shift, moving from deterministic flowcharts to autonomous AI agents that can execute and optimize strategies on their own. But, this is a big but, it will absolutely fail and burn your budget in the process if you don't have human strategy, rigorous data hygiene, and deep sales alignment backing it up.
It is a remarkably powerful engine, but you still have to lay down the track and define the destination.
Exactly. And understanding this hidden architecture matters immensely. Whether you are a marketing operations manager about to authorize a massive software budget, or you're just a consumer trying to figure out why you keep getting eerily accurate, highly targeted emails 3 days after abandoning a digital shopping cart, you now know exactly what the machinery looks like behind the curtain. It's the downstream activation engine doing its job.
And as we navigate this new era of automated technology, I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder, building on that agentic shift we discuss. The source notes that in 2026, your job as a marketer is shifting from executing individual campaigns to supervising intelligent AI systems.
Yeah.
But think about the reality of that transition. If these autonomous agents are now capable of executing your strategies at lightning speed across millions of individual touch points, how will you detect a strategic flaw before the machine successfully alienates your entire customer base in a matter of milliseconds? In a world of automated agentic execution, the cost of human error doesn't go away. It just scales.
That is a brilliant and slightly terrifying thought to end on. If the engine's running at 1,000 miles an hour, you better make sure it's pointed in the right direction. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep learning, keep questioning the systems around you, and we will catch you next time.